Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. And here we are halfway through January. And the old saying is, time marches on, doesn't wait for anybody. Let's come to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And this is really quite a marvelous thing. And yet, God has revealed to us enough of what he's doing that we're a part of his plan. Think of that. That God made all of this, heavens and the earth, everything that there is, all human beings, that we're a part of his plan. And so are all the rest of mankind, according to his overall plan. Okay? Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter. But according as it is written, the eye has not seen, and we'll add this, even with the telescopes. The eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And of course, that is the key. Loving God. See? Everything else comes from that. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Well, we've been understanding some of the prophecies in the stream of prophecy series we've been doing, and there's some mighty difficult things to understand. So when you look at that, and we can understand a little bit of that, and then think about the greatness of God. Okay, we'll see it here in just a minute. Reveal them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men understands the things of man except by the Spirit of man which is in him? In the same way, the things of God, now notice, no one. See, think of the blessing of knowing, because God has to open our minds. No one understands except by the Spirit of God. Okay? Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, and there is a spirit of the world. We're going to talk about that here a little bit later, and it's full blast, all cylinders clicking and Satan working hard, okay? But the Spirit which is of God. Now, this really helps us understand that we can look at the great things that God has created. But where is his focus? And where is his attention? With his people. See? And now we're at a critical crossroad we'll see a little later. Okay? So that they might know the things graciously given to us by God. Now let's see why puny men cannot add to or take away from God's word. Now they may, in writing something, they may, in teaching something, but they can't really do it. See? Because it's spiritual. And they can't understand it because they're trying to understand things spiritually through philosophy. Okay? Now, Isaiah 40, let's come here. This is quite a chapter. Tells us a lot. And shows us the perspective of God. Okay. So let's begin in verse 12, Isaiah 40. Okay? Here we go. Isaiah 40, verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out to heavens with a span? Who has comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills in a balance? Now notice verse 13. Men like to add to and take away from the word of God, as I mentioned. Okay. So here's what they're up against. Verse 13. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? No man. Who was his counselor that he might instruct him? Now think on that one statement there. When men make proclamations to do away with the Word of God, replace the Word of God, whatever they do, they are in fact trying to instruct God. Okay? Take the Sabbath, for example. Okay? God, because this Sabbath is so harsh, we're persecuted by the Romans because of keeping the Sabbath. And look here, there are some of your people over here worshiping on Sunday. Now they're not persecuted. So we'll go over there and go with them. And then that's how it started in 62 AD in Rome. Okay? That's how Sunday worship started. Now, think about everything that they've designed to tell God how important Sunday is in eliminating the Sabbath. So what they're doing, they're instructing God. God, your instructions are no good, but here's ours. Okay. With whom did he take counsel and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge? And made known the way of understanding to him. Okay? Now this next verse is very profound. Behold, the nations, now think about the whole world. We've got a globe here, so gander over there to the globe. Okay? Behold, the nations are like a drop in a bucket. And counted as the small dust of the scales, behold, he takes up the isles as a very little thing. So this helps us get the right attitude to God. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast of it sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations, okay, spin the globe. All nations, north, south, east, west, okay, before him are as nothing. And they are counted by him as less than nothing and vanity. That is, without his plan. But all of that hinges on him. To whom then will you compare God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? Then he talks about the stupidity of men who make an idol that they have to carry around, which can't see, which can't speak, which can't hear, and bow down to it and say it's God. So he says, verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth. So you see, God's not as far away as a lot of people think. Now, this also shows that the earth is a globe. Okay? And its people are like grasshoppers. It is he who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in, who brings the rulers to nothing. Now think about that. Every great emperor, how did they end their lives? Not very well. He makes the judges of the earth his vanity. So he says, verse 24, no sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, then he shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away like stubble. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Lord, or the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high. So that's what we're doing here, figuratively speaking, by reading this and by looking at things like this. That's quite a thing. So whenever you get all lifted up in yourself and think how much you do and how much you accomplish, well, just go out some night when you can see the stars and pray and meditate while you're watching them, look at that, and just thank God that you're a part of what he is doing and the world doesn't have a clue. And behold, who created those things, who brings out their host by number, who calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power, and not one fails. So that's quite a lesson for us. Now then, big event that I talked about here recently in this series about Chrysalis. Okay? It's going everywhere. Now, we'll see what happens at the dedication of these new places of worship down in Qatar, where the Chrysalis will be headquartered for the time being. But there's a new movement on. Okay? Now, I hope I pronounced this correctly. Now, I didn't know about this until a woman wrote me a little note and said, I couldn't believe my eyes. So she wrote it out. Okay? And here's how it's spelled. Chermaskagog. Chermaskagog. Chermaskagauge. Chermaskagog lays first bricks for peace. Remember what we were studying, that there will be peace first 3.5 years? Okay, here it is. Christian, that's Catholic. Okay, then we have Protestant, okay, Muslim, and Jew. All three. Oh, we're such good people. Oh, we're going to get along. And they've received over $30 million already to build their building. They're going to build a big, big building. And they're going to have three sections for meeting in it. One for Christians, one for Muslims, and one for Jews. And in the middle is going to be a middle meeting room. See? Isn't that lovely? We'll be hugs and kisses all the time. See? Yes. Miraculous. See? Just give us enough time. And let all good people come together, and we'll solve our problems. All right? So here it is. It's going to be a gigantic building. It's going to take 3 years to build it. So what does this tell us? The movement for peace is underway. And it's not coming through political force, and it's not coming through military force, it's coming through religious force. Okay? Yes, this actually came out in February 2021. Okay? All right. It's called the house of one. See? Human beings can get along. Yes. Even different religions. Okay. Why are they getting along? Because God is putting it in their minds to do so. Because that's what they want. Same thing with Balaam. Remember? God told Balaam, don't go. Oh, but I want it, and think of all the money I'll have. Oh, I want it. Oh, Lord, let me go. All right. You go. But you can't speak anything other than I will let you speak. Okay? So he was on the way. He made the donkey buck him off and talk to him with a man's voice. Okay? And so when he finally got there, Balak said, oh, good, you can curse the children of Israel. See? Well, he tried seven times, didn't work. He blessed them and even mentioned the Messiah. Okay? So when it says God put it in their hearts to agree, we'll see a little later on, okay, it's going to happen. House of One is coming up on the site of Old St. Peter's Church, which was damaged in World War II and completely demolished by the government of East Germany in 1964. Now think of this. What better way to show the world that we good Germans really want peace? We have overcome all of our Nazi tendencies. That's 75 years behind us. Okay? That's what it is. The people who come here will remain true to their own religion, continue to draw from its power, and engage in peaceable dialogue with one another and with members of the city's secular population. The original idea came from the Protestant church community of St. Petri and St. Marian, which then joined forces with the Jewish community of Berlin and the rabbinical cemetery Abraham Geiger Kolleg and the Muslim Initiative for Dialogue Form, Dialogue EV. Okay. Now notice how long they've been working on it, see? The Church Muskegog, that's it, Church Muskegog. I spent all day learning how to pronounce that yesterday, okay? Has been 10 years in the planning, and construction is estimated to take 4 more years, okay? So remember what we said. The first 3.5 years of the last 7 years will be what? Peace. Here's how they're going to have it. See? A campaign was launched last Christmas to raise the remaining funds, and in 2012, a competition was launched for architects from around the world to design the one-of-a-kind building, something that no one has ever attempted to do. So there's quite a bit of information on it. All right, Get a pen, have a pen ready. I will spell this for you, and you can go online and get as much information as you can. Okay, here we go. C-H-U-R. C-H-U-R. That stands for church. Okay? M-O-S-Q stands for mosque. M-O-S-Q, and then U-A, U-A-G-O-G-U-E, synagogue, okay? Chermuskegog. And once they get that going, it'll start taking off in other places, all right? Now, all right, let's come back here to Revelation 17. Revelation 17 is the final fulfillment combined with Revelation 13 of Babylon the Great. Though it's depicted as a city, it is the whole world. And if you look at the cities of the world, they look almost identical wherever you go. Okay? Now, one man wrote a book a long time ago called East Minus West Equals Zero. Okay? He was applying that to the Soviet Union. But think about how that applies to China. China has built up its country. It's like a Western country. How did they get that? They imported engineers, they imported things, increased trading. They stole a lot of things. So there they are. They will be the backbone of the kings of the East and the armies of the East. All right? So here we have Revelation 17, verse 1. And one of the seven angels who had the seven vials came, spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I will show you the judgment of the great whore who sits upon many waters." All right? Now back here, verse 15, just down across the page. Then he said to me, "The waters that you saw where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages." Okay. Now, come down here to verse 18. "And the woman who you saw is the great city that has royal power over the kings of the earth." Okay. Now then, let's understand something. The push right now for the big reset is not working too well for the politicians and the business world. Okay? So when they have their Davos meeting in February, I think they're going to change the direction and thrust of what they're doing. Because you can't have world domination if you have people against you everywhere. So I think they're going to enlist the religious communities to help bring peace. And they will back off somewhat and then bring all of what they're going to do. Okay. So this woman can be none other than Rome, okay? "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Nobody knows right from wrong, good from evil. That's why the churches of God have got to really take hold and do what they need to do, see? And we can be thankful we have live stream because we can reach out and reach people right in their own homes and help them. And when we gather together online, we're still assembling together, correct? Okay. "So he carried me away in the spirit to a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet beast that had seven heads and ten horns, full of names of blasphemy." Okay. What does this show? The beast must be tamed by the religion. Okay. Now, when you analyze what Adolf Hitler did, he was the Messiah. Nazism was the religion. And everyone was fanatical to that. Okay. So we'll see a similar pattern. What's going to happen when the beast comes on the scene? The man. Okay. I think the first 3.5 years of the 7 years is going to be a spectacular display of cooperation, of love, of getting along. Of course, this is all satanic love, okay? And they are going to show that men can solve their own problems. But it only lasts 3.5 years, okay? So here she is. And a woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and pearls and precious stones and had a golden cup in her hand filled with abominations, the filthiness of her fornications. Okay? And across her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and of the abominations of the earth. So isn't that something? Remember where we started back in Daniel, the second chapter? And now everything in Daniel comes to the end. Okay. But revelation is needed to understand what the end is. All right. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Now, that's two categories of those who are martyred. One, the saints of God. Two, those who are not saints, but stand for the name of Jesus. They will probably be in the second resurrection. Now think about how many were killed by the Muslims here recently, which is part of that system. Remember the 17 men that they lined up on the seashore, on the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, lopped off their heads? Okay. So he said, and after seeing her, I wondered with great amazement, and the angel said to me, why are you amazed? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. And the beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and go into perdition. So where is this coming from? The depths of Satan, the devil. Okay. That's where it's coming from. And those who dwell on the earth, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Okay. Now, the book of life is from the foundation of the world, but our names are not put there until we're baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. Then our names are put there, okay, in the book from the foundation of the world. Not that our names were there from the foundation of the world. Okay. Shall be astonished when they see the beast that was, but is not, and yet is. Here's the mind of wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. Now, we can look at it this way. There are 7 hills around Rome. But if we're looking at a worldwide thing, there are 7 continents. Okay? And she has power over the kings of the earth. All right. Verse 10, now you can look at the chart showing the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. You can see that in the back of the Bible, but you can also see it if you write in for the Daniel Revelation series, okay? Let's see, it's about time to take a break, so we'll go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back. Welcome back to Sabbath Services. The beginning of the last 7 years is going to start out as a triumph for mankind. We can have peace. We can get along. We've got the new world order. The Pope has given his blessing. All of the religious leaders are in agreement. Everything is just fine. We have no wars. Okay? And then there will be the miracles that will be done. And then, right in the middle of it, boom! King of the South spoils it. Okay? So interesting. Now, let's come back here to Revelation 17 and finish this off. Okay? Now, these seven kings are the ones in succession. The rise and fall of the Roman Empire. And you might think, well, we're not a part of the Roman Empire. Well, we're part of Babylon the Great, aren't we? Have you ever seen the architecture of the buildings in Washington, D.C.? Huh? What do they look like? They look like the buildings of ancient Rome, don't they? Yes, indeed. Okay. So you look at that chart in the back here. I have one here. And if you don't have the Daniel Revelation series, get it. Okay. So this takes us right down to the final world government. Okay. Now, you don't know if there's going to be a reformation of the United Nations or not. If they get involved, and think about this, the League of Nations buildings and properties in Switzerland were given to the UN when they founded it in 1945. Okay. So what if the UN moves to where the League of Nations was? They got the buildings and everything ready to go. Okay. So that's possible. Okay, let me ring my bell. See? I ring the bell whenever it's a thought and it's possible, but we don't know. Okay, so don't take it as doctrine. Verse 10. There are seven kings, five are fallen, one is. Now, the one is when they understood it, when we began to understand what it meant. And you will see that comes to the time of World War II. And the other has not yet come. Now, isn't it interesting that this peaceful church combination starts in Germany? Okay. And when he has come, it is ordained he remained for a little while. Now, a little while doesn't give us a definite time period. So, this would have to be a little more than 3.5 years. Okay. And then the beast power continues to fight. And they all end up fighting Christ at his return. So the little while will amount to 3.5 plus 3.5, or 7 years. Is also the eight, but is from the seventh. So in other words, it's telling us it's going to be the same system that was under Hitler. In other words, fascism. And a great reset is fascism. Now, fascism is different than communism inasmuch as fascism lets all the businesses be privately owned, whereas communism is they take over all sources of production. Okay? So this helps answer why these big corporations are cooperating in this. And I saw on Carl Tuckerson's show, Glenn Beck, he wrote the book, The Great Reset. Okay? And it's all documented. See? So what's interesting is this. When we're watching and looking and understanding, God will lead us to what we need to know. So we can see what is taking place. All right? Now then, it says there are 10 kings who receive power as kings for 1 hour. Now, I can't find my notes that I had with it, but the United Nations has the whole world divided down into 10 economic areas. North America, South America, Europe, India, China, Africa, North Africa, South Africa, and then you have the Isles of the Pacific, and then you have the Scandinavians are kind of off on the side so far. Russia is one. And so they all add up to 10 regions. Now, when this world peace comes in, will they set up a prime minister for each of these 10 areas? I don't know. Let me ring the bell. Okay? But they do not have authority as a king. But when the war starts between the king of the north and the king of the south, then these other kings receive power as kings to work with the beast to try and solve the problem. Okay? That's the best I can figure it out at this point. We don't know. But anyway, we're getting close. Verse 12, and the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings who have not received a kingdom, but shall receive authority as kings for 1 hour with the beast. These all have one mind and shall give up their power and authority to the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Okay? So we can see a lot of these things now really developing. So what is it that we must do? All right? Well, let's come here to the book of Mark. Book of Mark, chapter 13. This tells us what we need to do. And we will see how that is going to come about and everything that will go with it as much as we're able to. Okay? Mark 13, verse 30. Now, this is talking about Mark 13 and verse 30. This is talking about the end time generation. Okay? Truly I say to you, this generation shall in no way pass away until all things have taken place. So everything we've read in the book of Revelation, the things we understand, the things we guess upon, and the things we can't figure out yet, they're all going to take place. Okay? The heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. But concerning that day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. Isn't that interesting? While he was on the earth, he didn't know. Okay? But the Father only. So he says this. Now, this is what we need to do. Take heed. Okay? Be watching. And we're going to have to watch, number one, ourselves. Number two, the world events that are taking place. Number three, the events taking place within the churches of God. And we'll talk about that in a bit. Okay? So he says, take heed, be watching and praying. That's the key. Prayer, study, keeping the commandments of God, and asking God for the faith so we can continue even though we don't understand a lot of things. And we won't understand them until we see certain events take place. Now, look at what we just covered with this Chermoskagog. Who would have ever thought? I mean, even in the church, that they would all get together and do this. And that it would come out of Germany. What a tremendous thing. So we need to watch. For you do not know when the time is coming. It is like a man journeying to a far country and leaving his house, giving authority to his servants, to each one his work, and commanding the doorkeeper to watch. That's what we are. We're all like doorkeepers, see? Be watching, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Okay? Now, let's look at something very interesting here. Let's come to Matthew 25. And here's the parable of the 10 virgins. Matthew 25, and this one has been a difficult one to understand. Okay? But let's see if we can get a little more understanding of it this time and put it together with some other factors that are necessary. Okay? Let's start in verse 1, Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And the ones who were foolish took their lamps, but they did not take oil with them. Now they had some oil in the lamp. How many of you have seen the little lamps that they had? It's like a seashell with a little lip on the end of it. And they put a wick in it. They had olive oil. And then they would light the end of it. And that would draw the olive oil up to keep the flame burning. Okay. Now, these little lamps didn't contain much oil. So they had to be replenished all the time. In order to do that, you had to have a reserve of oil so you could take care of it. All right? The ones who were foolish took their lamps, but they did not take the oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels along with their lamps. And when the bridegroom was gone a long time, they all became drowsy and slept. So what you can do is take this verse and use that to understand Revelation 2 and 3. All the churches had their problems, right? Okay. They become drowsy and slept. That means they slacked off. They didn't continue to be zealous. Okay. But in the middle of the night, there was a cry. Middle of the night is an expression meaning when you don't know what's going to happen. Now, in the world, when they have that peace, it's going to look like a great light. But the way God sees it, that's midnight. There was a cry. Look, the bridegroom is coming. Go to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. Okay. Showing they had the Holy Spirit, but spiritually they were going out. Now, do you know any who have been in the church that you've seen that happen to?
Okay.
Yes, indeed. And the wise answered, saying, no, lest there not be enough for us and for you, but instead go to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Now, what does that mean? They've got to buy it. Well, we'll look at it in a minute.
Okay.
While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And afterwards the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. So these are the ones who completely lost the Spirit of God. Some of them had a little bit of the Spirit of God. And we'll see what Jesus says in just a minute here. So he says, watch therefore, for you do not know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.
Okay.
Now let's come to Revelation 3. Let's follow this along with buy.
Okay.
Go to those who sell. Revelation 3. Let's come to verse 14. Probably knew where I was going. Okay. But let's examine it here. Now, this is part of the churches of God. And in our day and in our time, they have been beaten up in how many different sermons? Okay? By how many different ministers? And then as time goes by, you look back and see some of those preachers that preached against it themselves fell victim. See? Okay. So let's pick it up, verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginner of the creation of God. I know your works. See? Now stop and think for a minute. Everybody has works. All right? If you have no work, that no work is your work. Okay? That you are neither cold nor hot. That means you're not totally unconverted, but you're not really converted. And we can look the effect of what happened with the church through that as well. So then, because you are lukewarm and are neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Okay? Verse 17. For you say, I am rich. Now look at the other six churches. They didn't talk back to God. See? Now it takes a lot of gall to talk back to God, doesn't it? I'm rich, you've given us everything. See? Now you can look at some of the churches of God and you can say that you can identify some of them with this. Look at some of the Protestants and say, they have the name of Jesus. They have some truth. And they're rich and increased with goods. But they're not really converted. Okay? So it's possible. Again, I ring my bell. Okay? And have become wealthy. Now think about all the evangelists on TBN that have jets. There's one who has four. Okay? Now figure out how much it costs to run the jets. Okay? And have become wealthy and have need of nothing. and you do not understand that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I counsel you to buy, like it was told the five foolish virgins, buy from me. So that's the one that they were to go to buy, to Christ. See? Buy from me gold purified by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. Okay. Because you come up to some of them in the churches of God and they don't understand, and you come up to some of these, like the evangelicals, they see certain things, but they don't know anything. See? For as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That shows it's close to the end time. Okay? If anyone hears my voice, how do you hear the voice of God? Reading the Word of God, believing the Word of God, repenting and keeping the Word of God. And opens the door, I will come into him. Ha, what does that tell us? They had God's Spirit with them, but not in them. See? I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Okay? Now, let's look at it in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. And let's see the gold that they are to buy is character. Love, truth, obedience, and all of that. Okay? 1 Corinthians 3. Okay? And let's see what Paul wrote about this and show that what we're talking about now applies to a group of people, but to each one individually within that group. Okay? So here, 1 Corinthians 3, let's pick it up here beginning in verse 10. As a wise architect, according to the grace of God that was given to me, I have laid the foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each one take heed how he builds upon it. Okay? Our Christian life is likened to building. What kind of building are we building? See? And that comes through where we saw in Mark, be watching and praying. Watching is watch yourself, watch the world events, look at things around you, understand what you are doing, and praying. Okay? Take heed how he builds upon it. For no one is able to lay any other foundation besides that which had been laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if anyone builds upon this foundation, all right, here we go. Six different categories of spiritual building. Number one, gold. What did Jesus tell the Laodiceans? Buy of me what? Gold tried in the fire. Okay. Silver, precious stones. Now, when you look at all three of these, they're actually made better when they're under the pressure of fire and can be purified. Get rid of the dross out of the gold and the dross out of the silver, and the precious stones become far more valuable when they have had the right amount put upon it so that they turn out as diamonds, and as rubies, and as sapphires, and as topaz.
Okay.
All the stones of color back there in Revelation 22. All right. The next three are wood. Now, wood can withstand a certain amount of heat and not really be burned up, just kind of scorched a little bit. Hay, well, that can't resist fire at all. Stubble. Stubble can even explode on a hot day.
Okay.
Showing that these three are not stable. So notice what he says in verse 13. The work of each one shall be manifested, for the day of trial will declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall prove what kind of work each one's is.
Okay.
So that's what we're facing in this age. In other words, we're going to come to a time. That's why we need to be watching and always overcoming as we're going along. Because we're going to come to a time when there are going to be a lot of people who are going to say, oh, no, look at this. I should have done what the Bible says. But they were too slack.
Okay.
So how are they going to make it? Well, the only way they're going to make it is if they are faithful unto death.
Okay?
The only way. Fire shall prove it. If the work that anyone has built endures, he shall receive a reward. If the work of anyone is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet is through fire.
Okay?
So this says that there is hope. So those in Matthew 25 who were the foolish, they've got to come to Christ. And come to Christ on his terms and receive his spirit.
Okay?
Now verse 16. Don't you understand that you are God's temple and the Spirit of God is dwelling in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God shall destroy him, because the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So then he gives a final warning. And this all has to do with us watching ourselves. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks himself to be wise in this world, let him become a fool so that he may be wise in God's sight. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he entraps the wise in their own craftiness.
Okay.
And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, do not let anyone boast in men, for all things are yours. And the last two verses, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God.
Okay?
So there we go. Let's take another look at this. Let's come to Isaiah 55. Now, this is why prophecy is interesting. Everyone wants to know. But the truth is, if you don't keep your spiritual house in order, you're not going to understand. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts. See. Now, the five foolish virgins were not thirsting like they should.
Okay.
Now, what does it mean to thirst? It means this. You desire the Word of God. You desire the Spirit of God. God will give it.
Okay.
But when you're lukewarm, when you're not applying yourself, and when you're deceiving yourself and telling yourself, well, I'll get around to it here pretty quick, and then time slips away. And you'd say, well, I'll get around to it pretty quick, and time slips away. And lo and behold, time takes its toll. And then your self-deception becomes even worse. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Okay? All of these are aspects of the Word of God. God will give you understanding. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for what never satisfies? Hearken diligently to me. That's what it has to be.
See?
And this is our own charge to each one of us. God wants us to be diligent. That means we continue steadfast in prayer, steadfast in study. Let nothing interfere with it. Let nothing take us away from God. Let nothing supersede our desire and what we're called to do, but to serve God. Now notice what it says here. Okay? Hearken diligently to me and eat what is good.
Okay?
Now the psalm says, O taste and see, the Lord is good. That means the Word of God.
Okay?
So whenever you're studying the Word of God, you're feeding your mind.
See?
And that's what needs to be fed more than your belly.
See?
Because you need the Spirit of God to direct you, and God will provide enough for your belly. Okay, if we can put it that way. All right? And let your soul delight itself in fatness, that is, understanding the deep things of God. Bow down your ear and come to me. Now, isn't that what Revelation 3, the Laodiceans is? Yes, right there. And here. And your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Okay? So there we go. That's what we need to be doing. All right, is there anything else we missed? Nope, let's come back to Romans, the 8th chapter. Let's finish it here. Romans 8. All this tells us what we need to be doing. This reminds me, every time there's a big rain someplace, the news always goes out there and watches the swelling river rise and rise. When they get record rains, everyone who had the riverside house are standing there wondering, will my house survive? And you've seen the picture of it, haven't you? The water increases, and here's their house. Whew! And it just goes down the torrent of the river that's swollen. So we need to be careful that that doesn't happen to us. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 9. Romans 8 and verse 9. This is what we need to focus on. See. You are not in the flesh. In other words, God is looking upon us with his Spirit in us as if we're spiritual. But in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is indeed dwelling within you. Now remember what we read with the Laodiceans. Okay? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone opens, I will come into him. Okay. They need to have the Spirit of God. Okay. If the Spirit of God is indeed dwelling in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. But if Christ is within you, the body is indeed dead because of sin. However, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That means you're not letting your body, your mind, control you in the dictates of the lust of the carnal mind. But the Holy Spirit of God is leading you, strengthening you, and showing you what you need to do, where you need to go. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling within you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal bodies because of the Spirit that dwells within you. So you see the whole thing about it. And the whole thing about prophecy is, yes, it's interesting. Yes, it's going to happen exactly like God says. Yes, it is true. But because you can see it, you can understand some of it, what's the most important thing? The Spirit of God within you, because that points toward the resurrection. Okay? Verse 12. So then, brethren, you are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh, because if you are living according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And that's what it has to be with us. Now, we could go on and add other scriptures to it, which help us understand and give us inspiration. But this is what we need to do when we see all of these events coming up upon us. So we'll end the stream of prophecy by saying, watch yourself. Watch world events. Okay? And God will be with you in everything that you do.